Amen. I just want to share a short little history with you. You know, as a young man at the age of 17, during my final year in matric, I was praying and I said, God, I'm looking for a place where I can find somebody that's going to be a spiritual father, that's somebody that I can learn from, that I can receive from. And I'm looking for, over and above that, I'm looking for friends that I can call family, that's going to believe what I believe, know what I know, going to be excited about what I'm excited about. Because at that stage, I found so many people, when I spoke about the things of God, the spiritual things, they would stare at me like, you know, a dog looks at, you know, something that's rotten and not nice, you know, but what are you talking about? And I just said, God, I want people that's going to know what I'm talking about, that's going to have a spirit witness inside of them, that's going to know that we're talking the same thing. And that's exactly what I found in my first year in university when I walked into Shofar Christian Church. Shofar was started by Pastor Fred and Lucille May in 1992. I joined in February 1994. The church was very young. We had not many people. And Christelle and I, my wife, we were on the first camp and the first cell and the first Bible school and the first everything, and saw the church grow from just one church in Stellenbosch to the next one being planted in Tigerberg, and then we found ourselves being in Franschhoek starting the next one, and from there many others. I've lost count. I've probably over 20 already by now that's been planted all across the world and growing from strength to strength. I'm not going to share much more about that history tonight, but this morning, but maybe at the community session we'll have 2 weeks from now. But I want to talk about the vision just for a moment. Our vision is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. Now, our flower arrangement that you see here has been specially made with that in mind. And reaching nations, that's what the world there is about, that round ball, and also the flags of all the different nations. And I want to tell you this morning that it's all about reaching every nation, not just one nation, not just South Africa, and also within that nation, not just one people group, but every people group. And as you can look around you, you can see white, black, Afrikaans, English, Indian, and all sorts. Yeah, but we're going to India, we're going to China, we're going to all over the world. Why? Because that is the great commandment of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, not just my people group. Ninet, the Afrikaner, not only the Khoza or the Zulu, but everyone. That is nations. And then generations. Now, the flowers represent the young people that needs to come up, the ones that's blossoming and blooming, and the Baikis and Iblomikis, and so on. And then you have the solid wooden structure there. That's the older people who stand strong. Now, I don't know if the older people will relate. Some of you still feel like the flowers, and praise God. I hope you do. But the strength, you can see that it's much thicker. It's got a lot more wear and tear on it. There's a lot of more wisdom there. And so we want to reach all generations, not just a specific generation, but every generation. How we want to do that? Firstly, through disciple making. That's what Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And disciples is not just converts. A convert is somebody that responds to the gospel and says, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. But that's the beginning. It's not the end. Then we have to teach. Jesus said, and teach them to observe all that I have taught you. That is where Bible school comes in. That's where the foundation series comes in. That's where all of our training seminars comes in. Disciple making. That's why we have small groups or cell groups, home groups, if you want to call it that. Where people can get connected into a personal relationship with others and be discipled in the group context. We want to disciple people, not just make converts. And then through leadership development, because if we want to empower people or if we want to reach the world effectively, we need to have leaders. The more leaders we have, the more people we can send. The greater the army of God will be. Leadership development. And then church planting. And so the white there on the flower arrangement represents the Holy Spirit, who sort of randomly goes wherever he wants to, as the scripture says. And then he points his finger at a specific place and he says, Daso, Kuruman, gaan plant die kerk. Klip pit sonder water, daar gaan jy. Okay, and so we're going to plant churches as the Holy Spirit leads, as He moves. It's not by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God. We want to plant these churches. There's a lot more that I can share with you regarding our core values, but we'll talk more about that at the Foundation 2 series. At this stage, I think what I'd like to do is to call on Pastor Fred May. He is our senior pastor and founder of Shofar Christian Church, to bring us a word. And before he comes, just a reminder to have some fellowship with us, tea and coffee afterwards. And remember what all the list there, that there is there in the foyer. Pastor Fred, is he? There he is.
Christel, jou vliegtuig vertrek amper, kan jy asseblief? Dit is fantasties om hier te wees, vanoggend. En ek gedink, miskien as daar besoekers is, wil julle weet wie Christel is. Sy is 'n masjien. En, ja, soos Anton sê, ons kom een baie lang pad. Ja, en hulle kan swem, hulle is al diep waters deur, en het nog nie verdrink nie, hulle kan swem, die Heer het hulle geleer swem. So, allemaal wat nog nie kan swem nie, moet asseblief, na hulle toe kom, hulle kan julle leer swem, hoor. Hulle het al geleer om te float ook. Jy weet, as jy so op jy rug lê en die stroom vat jy net, hulle kan dit ook doen. Maar het is fantastisch om hier te wees met julle vanoggend. Anton en Christel, en ons eer julle vir julle, nie net julle beskikbaarheid en julle bereidwilligheid, maar julle opgewondenheid, om dit te doen wat die Here julle roep om te doen. En vir ons wat kindertjies het, ek dink ons hulle waardering hee, en Christel, jy gaan een groot fanclub hee in Standerton. Christel, wat ek gesê? Nee. Die mense is nie van Standerton. Standerton se mense is nie so, hulle strei nie. met die mikrofoon. In elk geval. Ja, ons gebruik partykeer ons kinders as verskonings om niks te doen en nêrens heen te gaan nie. En in daai opsig is hulle 'n fantastiese voorbeeld. Kinders is 'n seën van die Here af. Dis wonderlik, hulle is 'n aansporing om meer mens te wees en meer te doen. Ja, groter opoffering. Maar soos Anton kan getuig, hulle maak 'n mens van jou, want 'n mens help ook met die kinders. 'N mens bad ook die babas. So, so baie dankie dat ek hier kan wees vanoggend, en ek dink ek moet nou begin preek, want mense begin kyk na my en wonder of die preek nog gaan gebeur. Let's stand together, kom ons staan vanoggend. Father, we thank you that we can be here. It's a key city. And just like Jerusalem was a key city, Lord, Standerton is a key city because of its spiritual significance. And so we honor to be here, Lord, and we pray your blessing upon this place, upon the people in this place, upon the city. And this morning we celebrate your love for the city, your love for its people. And so we thank you, Father God, that we need to invite you here because you were here before we got here. And so we thank you that by the blood of Jesus we have access to your presence in this place. We acknowledge your presence in this place, but what we do want from you, Father, is that you activate that presence here this morning. Because you say you stand at the door, you are present. But you've allowed us to make a choice as to your presence. We may open the door or we may close the door. And so on the one level, Lord, you've opened a door into Stanton. But Stanton has to decide whether it's going to open its door, its heart's door. And Lord, for ourselves, we open our heart's door this morning. On behalf of the city this morning, we open the door. And we say, let the King of Glory come in. Let him be known. Let him be worshipped. Let him be obeyed in this place. And all God's people said, Amen. Ons was nou onlangs in Israel gewees en vir julle wat daar was of so te gaan. Daar's 'n klomp in Turkye en daai plekke met 'n lang geskiedenis, is daar klomp vulleshope. You call it a tell. A tell is a huge heap of dirt that is very high. It looks like your mountain out here, that Standerton built. Julle berg, ja. That's pretty much a tell. Sometimes it's a bit higher, but it's special because archaeologists, people who study ancient history by digging around in the dirt, what they do, they go to mine that tell. Hulle grawe so deep onder af. And what they look for in that tell, in that big heap of dirt, are the different civilizations that have established itself there. It's very interesting, incredible, because a tell would represent a whole lot of civilizations that just got built one on top of the other. And when the archaeologist digs down, they go back 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years. Different civilizations built layer upon layer. Two things interesting about those tells is that every city gets built exactly on top of the other one. That's how the tell is formed. But even more interesting is that when you go into an excavation like this, a tell that has been dug out so that you can see the whole city. It's fascinating. These cities are quite big because these cities used to be an entire nation, city-states, like Jericho. Jericho wasn't a city as much as it was a country. But countries had walls around. People used to build walls around their countries, their cities. But the place of worship at every tell is like there. It's at exactly the same spot. En wat dit interessant maak is hierdie beskawings het niks van mekaar geweet nie. Want een beskawing kom byvoorbeeld 500, 600 jaar na daai mense was. Dis dit net so 'n stofhoop. En hulle weet nie eers daar was 'n stad vir die tyd. Hulle kyk net na die plek en dink dis 'n goeie ligging, dis naby 'n rivier of dis veilig. Nou bou hulle 'n stad. Maar wanneer die tempel, die plek van aanbidding gebou word, is hy presies pinpoint op dieselfde kol waar elke vorige aanbiddingsplek was. Dis net incredible. Met ander woorde, daar's duidelik, certainly there's a spiritual significance to territories and locations that you can study through history. And so when Jesus says to the disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem, it's because he's identified Jerusalem as a key city for reaching the world. And the Holy Spirit's not going to fall anywhere else, it's going to fall in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has spiritual significance. And so you will also note that Mount Moriah, where Abram offered up Isaac, and where the Muslims' dome of the rock mosque now stands, exactly the same place. The temple of Herod, Solomon, all of that, exactly the same spot. Moriah. It's just fascinating, this stuff. And nobody stands there and organizes that except there has to be a ruling spirit that directs and dictates. Other thing that happens is that the heart of human beings are drawn to where God's blessing rests. And so in that sense, it's a wonderful privilege to be a Kostanerton is a city, it's a key city because of its spiritual significance. Now, the Apostle Paul, he didn't have too much of a sock with Jerusalem. He just wanted to get to Rome because there are two types of key cities. The one is spiritual, the other one's political, and both of them are important in God's scheme of things. And so the life's purpose of the Apostle Paul was to get to Rome. He wanted to get to Caesar. He wanted Caesar saved. And I mean, he suffered so much on the way, but he got there eventually, and he got his 5 minutes with Caesar. And so that is the apostolic call upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Ons moet erkenning gee aan wat God gedoen het deur die eeue en wat God wil doen. En so in daardie opsig gestaan het ons 'n sleutelstad. Dis 'n baie baie belangrike plek. It's a significant city. And you know that better than I do, but I think it's just important that we remind ourselves of how God moves. And so it's very humbling. Even the things that Anton shares this morning about the fact that people have been praying for 15 years for a long time been hearing that God would move, and it's such an awesome, awesome privilege to just feel oneself a part, because, you know, it's just by grace, not because you're special or different. It's just, and we can't figure out the calling and the choice of God. We can just submit to it. So in that sense, it's incredible to be here. God's going to do incredible stuff in the city, because there's been a huge, huge series of battles fought for the city. Most of them has been won, and the last one is going to be a walkover. And then the city is going to turn, and Jebus will become Jerusalem again, and the purposes of God will prevail. And it was said over and over last night, just interesting listening to the prophecies up there on the tell on the mound, that this is a place where leaders are going to be raised, mentored, fathered, commissioned to the four corners of the earth. That's the purpose of this place. It's also interesting being in the school and just looking at the list of head boys and girls here. This place has an anointing of which the school is a part, of which everybody lives here. So welcome to Stanerton. We feel welcome to Stanerton. And you needn't welcome us here, because that's not your job. It's God's job. It's His place. And so thank you for your hospitality. But thank you to God for having opened a door in the Spirit and for the Scripture. God's blessing, God's redemptive purpose rests on this place. And the least we can do is to work with it. I'm wanting to share with you on some. Let's just read the Scripture. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Ek gaan baie in Afrikaans deel vandag, maar die Skrifte en al die goed is in Engels. Jeremia 31, vers 3. Een van die minplekke in die Skrif, waar God hom baie sterk uitdruk in terme van sy hartstog, sy ongelooflike deernis, His incredible love for us. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And I've a lot to share. I just wanted to focus on the last bit of this message really that I haven't shared yet. Maar as jy hele klomp mense wat nie vir God so ken nie, en ek praat nou van Christenmense. Hulle ken Christenskap, wat ons in Engels churchianity noem, ons weet baie van kerk, ons weet van hoe kerk werk, ons ken kerkpolitiek, ons het hartseer stories, lang stories, baie interessante stories. Maar as ek vir jy in die straat moet kry, en jy vra of jy 5 minute het, ons wil net vinnig gesels, en ek vir jy vra of ek persoonlik kan raak, en vir jy vra, ken jy vir God? En jy sê ja, en dan sê ek, hoe ken jy vir God? Ken jy hom intiem? Do you know God intimately? Do you know him is embrace? Can the ears of your spirit hear his song, the lullaby that he sings over you, or do you battle to fall asleep at night? You can't sleep at night because your heart can't hear your Papa God singing a lullaby, wat die stem van God jou in die slaap sis, want hy is een stem wat sy arm onder jou insit, en sy ander arm rondom jou, en hy trek jou nader, en soos wat ons in die fliek gehoor het, jy hoor die gedoef, 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 van sy hart, en partykeer hoef hy niks te sê nie, dit is net so vertroostend om sy hart sy gedoef te hoor. But you know, the fact is, that we have such, it's the biggest need in the human spirit, in the human psyche, in the human mind, is to know the love of God. But mostly, it's convenient to stay away from it because we don't know how to get there. How do we do this? How do we get this? And so I'm just wanting to share one or two things around how to come to experience the love of God, and then I'm wanting to get practical from Scripture. Dat wil ek praktisch raak. Want God in sy skepping het voorsiening gemaak vir ons, om hom intiem te ken, en dis waar oor die gesin gaan, dis waar oor die familie gaan, maar as ek vir oggend moet vra vir ons om ons hande op te steek, and don't do that, but if I were to ask you this morning, raise your hand, if you're one or two people, Either you're somebody who can spontaneously connect with God, because when you think of your dad, when you think of the times on his lap when you were just little, when you think about those times when you came home bleeding and crying, and dad was there, and mom was there, at the right time, and they caught you, and they held you, and they comforted you. Then you talk about those times when you came home, and your heart was broken for the first time, and then you run home, and when dad sees you and mom sees you, they look, they give each other that knowing look, that, uh-oh, here's trouble. Her world has just caved in on her. And they roll out the red carpet, and they just love you back to sanity. Few of us know that. And that's normal, that's natural. People all over the world, it's worse in different cultures. But all of us can say, yes, our parents are wonderful people, but they weren't perfect. And so it's hard for us to come to God to accept that He's perfect in His love. And we know it in our heads, but we don't have a reference. Ons het nie 'n verwysingsraamwerk nie. En nou die ander aand in intersessie, 'n meisiekind wat 'n baie, baie suksesvolle sielkundige, sy het haar eie praktyk. Sy sien mense, sy is so suksesvol. En toe die Heilige Gees begin beweeg, kom sy vorentoe en sy vat die mikrofoon en sy begin huil. En dit was 'n oomblik toe die Heilige Gees begin bedien oor die liefde van God. En sy bely toe teenoor God, sy sê vir God, God, ek kan jou nie in die oë kyk nie. Ek kan dit nie hanteer nie. Ek draai weg, ek stap weg en ek wil net vanaand sê, ek is so jammer dat ek paal my rug op die draai. I turn my back to you because I cannot stand your gaze. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how to respond to you. And God, after all these years, I don't know you. But help me. Help me. Teach me how to receive your love. Because I don't know. See, so that is very hard. So it's easier to play religion. I go to this church or I go to that church and I do this and I know this is what scripture says and it means you must do this. So we put the TV on and there are 5 steps into this and 7 steps into that, and that's great churchianity, just doing stuff. Well, the Father's desire for us has nothing to do with what we do, with what we achieve, with what we accomplish. What God wants from us more than anything else in the world. I read this morning again, as I got quiet with the Lord, just Moses. Exodus 33, God says, my promise goes with you, my angel goes with you, my presence goes with you. And Moses takes advantage of the fact that he's got FaceTime with God. He's talking to God. He says, God, show me your glory. God, I want to see into you. God, I want to know you. I don't want to know your blessings and your stuff and your power. I've seen your power. And that's fantastic. But God, I want to know you. And God says to Moses, Moses, well, there's a problem there. You can't really know me in that sense, because if I show you my face right now, you're going to die. But we can take this one step at a time. So I tell you what, I'm going to start by showing you my goodness. I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. So even when it comes to just knowing God as a good God, a lot of believers don't know that. A lot of Christians don't know. If you ask them who's God, they say, well, God is awesome. We're singing. And it's great to know God is awesome or faithful. But to know in your heart by experience, deur ervaring, die goedheid van God te ken, net sy toegeneentheid teenoor my, net om te ervaar dat God is ewig aangetrokke tot my as mens. As ons nie dit begryp nie, as dit nie deel van ons verwysings en ervaringsraamwerk uitmaak nie, dan ken ek en u vir God nie. Want dit het niks met godsdienst uit te wane. It's all about relationship with the Father. And so, I'm just going to touch on a key here.
and the key to understanding the love of God. I'm not going to share the scriptures with you now, but a lot that I need to say, but I must focus this morning. But you know something that I've never heard ministered in all my years, and I grew up in church? Because I'm one of the second group of people. If I were to ask you, do you know God? Then you may say no. But there's another group of people that God wants. People to know God out of the womb. Do you know that that's God's purpose for us? I only discovered that the other day. And that's why it's so great to have the mamas with the babas in here. We can consecrate our kids to the Lord in the womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to Jeremiah, I called you before you were conceived. I called you by name. I have appointed you and anointed you before you were born. I was so moved when where we come from in Stellenbosch, that's also like in a spiritual sense, it's a key city. It was great to have church leaders there this week that just confirmed that God had just drawn them there, and church leaders from all across the world. We had a wonderful fellowship. But I did an altar call last year after the salvation altar call. Ek het net so ingewing gehad. Ek sê, steek gou julle hande op, almal wat weet, jou ma het vir jou aan God gewy toe sy swanger was met jou. When your mother was pregnant with you, that she had the drawing of the Holy Spirit to go to God and say, this in my womb belongs to you. The hands started going up, and then I said, come forward. And julle sal nie glo nie. It's just 380 kinders het vorentoe gekom. And then you start speaking to some of those kids, and I think there's one such a child here today. And some of them said, my mother was 17 and she felt pregnant and she had to decide whether she was going to leave school or abort me. And then somehow she was led to not only keep me, but to go back to God and say, God, this child is yours. I consecrate this child to you in the name of Jesus. And you know, there's a lot of bad things happening out there, but I'm telling you something, that there's something phenomenal happening in the times that we're living. God is raising up a generation of Nazarites. Kids who know God from the womb, like Samuel, like Samson, like John the Baptist, like Jesus. There was a stirring and an intimate knowledge and a moving of the Holy Spirit even before birth. It started at conception. But what's interesting about the story I told you about that psychologist? She's one of those kids who were called from the womb. She never got saved. I talked to mom a while ago, who came to visit from far away. And the mom said, you know, my child is a very odd child. She's always heard God. She's always had the spirit of prophecy on her, ever since I can remember, ever since she could start speaking. And when she was still a little girl, she would go up to leaders in the community and she wouldn't tell me what she'd tell them. I just had to make the appointments. But she would write down pages and pages of words from God. And the mom tells of a businessman in the city where she comes from. Very powerful man. And this girl was just small. She was, 12 or whatever. And had a 2-hour meeting with him in which she worked through everything that God had told her that he must fix in his life. And this man saw the mother later on and said, I'd never known that God knows me this well and that God still speaks today. This child has told me stuff that only I and God knows. This child has exposed sin in my life that only God knows of, and I. This is the child who came to the microphone and said, God, I've known you for so long, but I can't look you in the eye. God, I've known you so long, but I keep turning my back on you. Because it's the same child who's been longing her entire life to have a dad just once hold a hand or hug her or hold her or look her in the eye and have their noses touch and say, I love you more than anything else in this world, my love. I just want you to know I'll always be there for you. There's nothing that I won't do for you. Saw this amazing show, a man on the Oprah Winfrey show. I'm not an Oprah Winfrey fan, but this was a Zimbabwean chap. And he was telling the story of him and a friend on a dam in Zimbabwe, fishing. Quiet afternoon, just lying there. And his little guy was in the boat with him. And at one stage he looked up and noticed the little guy was gone. Looked at his friend, and they looked at each other, and he realized immediately what had happened. The little guy had his legs hanging over the side of the boat, and the dad just made his sums very quickly. He dropped his fishing rod, and he went right down to the bottom of the lake, where a crocodile had the boy. It quietly come up to the boat, slipped the boy off the side, who was half asleep, and he was busy drowning the boy. And so Oprah says, what did you do? The dad says, well, I did what any dad would. I took my arm, stuck it into the jaws of the crocodile, got my boy, pulled my boy out, and then we surfaced with him, and we just managed to save his life. I was just in time. And Oprah says, but what about your arm? Because his arm is off just below the shoulder. He says, no, I left that with a crocodile. And Oprah says, but you just left your arm. He says, yes, it's just my arm. Not many of us know the love of the Father. Not many of us have that kind of reference. Amen? And I want to tell you this morning that where we've come to prophetically, God, He's fixing this in my life. Last year, beginning of last year, for the first time, I hear from God prophetically. I'm a Nazarite boy too. I've been serving God forever, known Him and all that rest. But I didn't know the love of God because I was faithful. I was ministering. I was doing for Him. But I didn't on a regular basis hear God tell me that I'm proud of you. I love you and I like you. I've never experienced the washing of the Holy Spirit over me when I know that this is God. He's not wanting me to go and save the world or minister the gospel or deliver somebody or take food. He's not wanting me to do anything. He's just wanting me to lie there and rest so He can love me. And before we go home today, I know that God wants a lot of people to just say to God that I didn't know that this is what you wanted from me. I always thought you wanted me to repent and to change and to save the world and to do a lot of things. I didn't know that you wanted this from me more than anything else. Just to sit still so you could kiss me on my forehead. Just to sit still so I can hold you. Because you see, the Father knows what life is like in a fallen world. That's why the incarnation, dis hoekom die menswording van Christus gebeur het. Christus verstaan hoe dit voel om hierdie wrede, bar, woestyn lewensomstandighede te verkeer. Hy ken baie beter as ons. En Christus ken Getsemane. Al die kere waar jy onderdruk voel om uit te skree, my God, waar is U? Why have you forsaken me? You know when it feels like church doesn't matter now and all the confessions, all the prayers, nothing matters. God, where are you? But you say, only if you've received the love of God can you be strong in those moments and have God walk in. When you're on the verge of burnout, when it feels like you're going to lose your mind, when it feels like your health is about to sap away, when Satan comes against you and he tries to suck your spirit from your body because he wants to kill you on your feet, so many times when hell is unleashed against you, if you don't know how the Father feels about you, you could lose it. Because we end up biting and fighting the very hand that has come to save. And a lot of people walk around with the testimony that God's not faithful, that God's not good, that God's not there. But you know what the problem is? When God arrives, when God pitches, we don't recognize Him. Because we don't know Him by heart. So many desperate, desperate believers. So I want to. There's a lot that I can share. There's, it's a teaching that I've got here this morning. I haven't done it, but allow me just to share one or two things with you. The first thing I'm wanting to share with you is that you must accept how God's love looks. God's love looks scary. In the Ten Commandments, he comes to the Israelites and he doesn't say, I love you. He doesn't say that. He says, I, the Lord your God, am a scary God. I'm a jealous God. Which means I'm obsessive in my possessiveness of you. Ek is obsessief besitlik. En God wil jou so in die gesig staar en vir jou vra, verstaan jy dit? Verstaan jy dit, dat ek jou heeldag agterna sit? Ek is altyd by jou. Mense vra my baie keer, nou, met die tsunami in Indonesië, waar was God? Now, you know what I'm going to say? He was there. Hoe kan jy sê God was there? I say, of course He was there, because He's everywhere. His presence fills the cosmos. But then the question, now, if He was there, why didn't He do anything? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason why He does nothing is because He's a gentleman. He only responds to invitation. He says, I will stand there, I'm here. I'm present. But I'm knocking. Until you open the door, I'm passive. I can't get involved until you give me the authority to get involved in your life. I don't need the authority of any of my other creatures. I don't need the authority of angels and of trees and of animals. But I do need authority on the part of human beings to allow me the freedom to come in and to be God. And the tsunami in Indonesia is actually a fantastic example of the presence of God, the God of love who stands and knocks. I have a friend, Jessica, who comes from Sri Lanka. And when there, she used to belong to the Assemblies of God. And she tells me a story of the assembly that she belongs to and the other one. Two Assemblies of God in Sri Lanka. And, you know, regular little Assemblies of God churches. But somebody had a word that for a particular morning, God says, I want you to do something that you've never done before. I want you to have a family service up on the hill. So when the tsunami came, both those fellowships were up on the hill, out of danger's way. In Indonesia, in Banda Aceh, which is called the shop window of Islam, Islam is very proud of what's happening in Banda Aceh, because radical Islam, Sharia law, all of that. But there's a fellowship of believers in Banda Aceh. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, the leaders of that fellowship went to the mayor of Banda Aceh asking for permission to have church outside the building up on a hill. Up to the weekend before the tsunami, he said no. As the weekend arrived, he said, okay, you may go. They had a picnic morning service up on the hill the morning of the tsunami. And guess who else was up on the hill? Every elephant and donkey that could break free, they were left in the week already. All the animals were there. So you see, when you talk to Nami, you ask me, where was God? He was right there. Was He there for everybody? Yes. Was everybody there for Him? No. not the life of one believer, not the safety of one believer was compromised over that weekend. We serve a good God. We serve a God of love, but He wants in. And this morning, if you ask me, what does it mean that God is a jealous God? It means that 24/7, His preoccupation. I don't know if you've ever seen a mom and a baby. There are some moms, you haven't seen it yet because you just do it. You know, that little thing's born. And mostly when we're born, we're ugly. I don't know if you noticed. Only cesarean section babies are sometimes almost good looking. But the rest of us, we come out with cone heads or, you know, we look funny. Depending on how stressful the passage was, we look like we come from another planet. But you know, the weird thing is moms don't notice. That mom sits there, she's fixated. My wife sat like that with our firstborn for an entire month. After a month, I said, Skat, klim van die bed af. Ons gaan vanaand flik. I've organized the babysitter. Jy gaan skeel raak. God's like that. And you know, just like the ugly baby, you and my heart's like that. Deformed and perverted, but God watches that. And all He wants to see is our hearts that are for Him before anything or anybody else. That's all He wants to see. And He alone knows when it's like that. So if you invite Him in, He just wants you to know that His love, if you're American this morning, it comes with a big white with red letters on, a warning sticker. This love is dangerous. This love can rock your world. I've told this story before, but a lot of you don't know me, but I'm a young man in the ministry. Was overseas for a while, came back, and I'm picking up the pieces. I'm going to date a young lady, and I'm sitting in the bath on a Saturday night, and I remember washing my back. Singing or whistling, you know how young men do when they have hope? So that's me in the bath. And suddenly, that familiar voice of God, it says, I'm going to ruin tonight. Ek gaan vanaand opmors. And you know, it's like a near-death experience when you see the taxi coming and, oh goodness, my life is ending. Then your whole life flashes like that in just a second. I had like a near-death experience. All my previous dates, all the chaos and disaster just flashed before my... And the shock was so sudden, I still remember the tears plopping onto the water in front of me. I looked up and said, so that was you. I thought I was just a failure. That was you. It was him. And that date that night was an unmitigated disaster. It was terrible. I mean, Murphy was all over me like a bad rash. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was like God was just rubbing it in. But I remember going home and realizing I've got a problem here. I've got a problem. Okay, so that was you, but now why? And that's when God, then I went to Scripture. And I for the first time I saw it. Exodus 34 verse 14, He says, I, the Lord your God, whose name is jealous. He's a jealous God. Now, I think that's pretty clear. Jehovah Kana. I'm scary. I will intervene in your life. I will smash and destroy if I understand that we have a deal here. You belong to me first. And then I had to pray and ask God to give me. You see, you can only know the love of God through the Holy Spirit's revelation. I never understood that. And then the Holy Spirit had to give me, He had to become the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He had to teach me something about the love of God. Now, many years ago in the 70s, the Russians did experiments when they were still a communist. They're still a communist country, but when they were, you know, Soviet. They had this chap that they pumped full of pure oxygen, and they had him run the 100 meters in something like 7 seconds flat. And then he got to the finishing line, then dropped dead. You see, pure oxygen is wonderful. It's fantastic stuff. It really makes you feel good, look good, and go like Superman. But our systems cannot handle it. There were three street people many years ago, big newspaper in Cape Town. The Cape Times took them off the street, put them in the Mount Nelson 5-star caviar, champagne, the whole thing, the whole weekend, you know? And of course, the gentlemen had a great time. But Monday morning had them lie in ICU at the hospital. Their systems packed up. It was just too rich, too much, too suddenly. The love of God is a bit like that. You can get it wrong. So the Holy Spirit had to come and teach me, show me, that when He's poured His love into my heart by His Holy Spirit, His first calling on my life is to exercise myself in the discipline of worship. If I don't get that right, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm going to be damaging and destroying people around me because I'm giving them that which they can't handle. They don't have a reference for. I was the reason why all my relationships went south, and that was the reason why God was messing up all my dates. He couldn't allow me to go on like this because He loves those other people too. A lot of Christian families have their kids doing drugs and sleeping around, you know, because mom is making an idol of little Johnny because she's never had the Holy Spirit help her give a revelation of the love of God. So little Johnny comes into the world and she loves little Johnny more than anything else, and that's the problem. She's never become a worshiper. Sait nooit die Heilige Gees se uitlaatklep vir die ewige suiwere skerie liefde van God, daar uitlaatklip ontdek, wat ek nie daagliks 'n behoefte aan het nie. You see, so there's a place in, and I must tell you guys, I mean this morning and last night, and now, ek weet party van ons, ek is ook, my pa was ook 'n ouderling in die NG Kerk, ek kom ook uit die NG Kerk, het so 2 eeuwe terug, maar in elk geval. Maar ek weet, dit is moeilik as mense uit selfs pinksterbehoudende godsdienst kom, waar ons koortjies sing, en dit gaan maar net oor die singerij. Maar aanbidding het niks met die singerij uit te waai, met alles met die hart uit te waai. En as ons dit ervaar, wat is nou gisteraand en vanoggend ervaar, dit is baie kosbaar, mense. Wanneer God mens toelaat om soos toeskouwer te staan en toekyk hoe ander mense wat wel daai verbintenis, people have that connection with God. How are they flowing? The Holy Spirit allows us that frame of reference so that we can monkey see, monkey do. So I know that there's a lot of debate. Ek is nou al 45 jaar oud en ek dink, ek is nou oud genoeg om so voor God te kom staan. Rustig. Ek hoef nie emosioneel te raak nie, want godsdienst gaan nie oor emosies nie. Sê wie? The problem is that some of us aren't even alive. Whether it's inside the church or outside the church. That's the reason why we pursue the flesh so hard. If you're not going fanatic about rugby, then your big sin is either your wine or your sex or whatever. You're looking for that outlet. You're looking for the one thing in your life that can satisfy when your heart touches the heart of God. And He places His hand upon you and says, you know something? You're okay. And because you're okay, it's going to be okay. Because I'm always okay. I love you. And so I had to realize that, you know, my love for God isn't emotional. It's deeper than that. It comes out of my spirit. And then when I realized that, I said, God, but I don't know how to fix this. Because I don't know where my spirit ends and my soul starts. I don't know that. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes to help us. He's the helper. And then shortly after that, the Lord introduced me to my wife, and He released me to get married. And He released me to have kids. And for those of you who are single and unmarried, I want to encourage you. And if you're married, you've never done this. Acknowledge the jealousy of God and say, God, I have a problem with your love because I don't have a human reference for it, because there is no human reference for your love in a strict sense. But I commit myself to accepting your love as you reveal it to me. Reveal it to me and help me to release that same love back to you. But I'm going to love the people around me emotionally. I'm going to learn the way of demonstrative love, affection. Ack is a broomstick up the spine kind of guy. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So I'm still learning. But you know, at least there's that separation. And I don't get on the wrong side of the jealousy of God. So from the day I made that deal with God, before I got married, I figured my wife, whoever she is, wherever she is, she's alive. So I'm going to start praying for her as if I'm her husband. And I find scripture and prayed for over her every day. Then I saw something else. My kids aren't out there. They're in here. They're in my loins. And between my wife and I, we're carrying them around. So I started banking prayer for them. So when they were born into blessedness. When my wife walked into my life, she walked into blessedness. A lot of believers don't understand the abiding presence of God. That God who's for us, so who can be against us? Amen? So let me just show you a few things in Scripture about how to make this practical for you. I must really watch myself. Somebody's helping me. Oh, praise God. I'm way over time. Julle gaan my vergewe, nee. Julle gaan my nie volgende week kan beklei nie, want ek is weg. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Just watch this. This is a beer deal. Sprang heel onder toe. It says, imitate God and walk in love. So this is actually what I came to share. Dit was nou in die inleiding. So ek gaan vandag net 'n paar goedjies noem. Vergewe my. It's coming, it's coming. It's like the second coming, you know? It's going to happen. This R, this beer, is it R? Ek glimlag sê vir my, ja. Dit praat van ons wat God moet naboots. Be imitators of God and walk in love. All of our kids, the most powerful things you learn aren't things that you learn at school or on TV. It's things that you learn through imitation by the people around you. Watch your kids. They've got all your bad habits. Where do they come from? Where does that lying and that stealing and that cheekiness comes from? Comes from you. Not from the neighbor and not from the friend up the road. Comes from you as parent. Because we've been hardwired by God to learn most powerfully and primarily through imitation learning. I had an amazing experience earlier this year. A young man came up to me after an altar call and said, you know, when we were with you, now we were together, the family in Kroonstad, we were here in Standerton, had a wonderful time, ate way too much, I became a role model here. And then we went on to Kroonstad, where it just got worse. But now, we happened to be there on the night that Uruguay played Ghana. That's like a 9/11 night. Where were you on the night when Uruguay played Ghana? And Africa lost to all the scallops of this world, eh? Goodness. Terrible. But in any case, so it's that night. So we're in this little room, and there's a mission team from the Cape going to wherever, Malawi. But they're stopping there because there's a lot of food there at that house. That's why we were there too, you know. The goodness of the Lord. But now, we've had our five-course meal and now we're sitting in die kamertjie en ons skree en gaan te kere daar as jy Christen alleen kan. Ons seun die skeidsregter en alle mense. You know the ironic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you out of my life forever and ever and ever and ever. We bless. We don't curse. We just bless. But you know, this boy is at the altar call and he tells me about that night. He says, you know, that night I didn't see the game because I wasn't watching the game. But the next morning after breakfast when we left and we drove to Malawi, I cried from Kroonstad to Malawi uncontrollably and I didn't know what was wrong with me. But he said, some way along there, God said to me in my heart that you're crying because of what you've seen. And what you've seen, I've allowed you to see because I caused you to see your future. And you know what he was referring to? While the game was on, we were too many people for the little room. We didn't have seats enough for everybody. So the host, JP and his wife, Ilza, are sitting there holding hands. And on JP's lap is little Mia. And she's 21 years old and she's stone in love with the dad. So she's sitting on her lap and he's having to get around her to see the TV because she's just into dad's face like a 3-year-old, you know. And she's being all funny and they're having fun there. And where I'm sitting, my 15-year-old's on my lap doing that with me. And this boy sat the entire night watching us and says to me, it's the first time in my life I saw a normal family. And I saw two of them. And it so rattled me, I didn't know what to do with it. I cried all the way to Malawi, and that's when God said to me, you've just seen your future. That's what I have for you in your future. And he says, he's sitting watching my boy, little Matthew, with his arm around my neck, and he's trying to figure now my boy is growing now, he's a little gymnast, you know, so he's got a few spierkies and hoekies. And he loves to show it off, you know, and I help my start like empies. So he sit down with his spierkies and his arkies, and I moet mos altijd van my wees, hy is amper so sterk soos ek, so nou druk hy my so daar. But this chap is watching Matthew, and he's just puzzled by the fact that this young man is comfortable on my lap, as if he's a baby. And he's trying to figure out, now, does this happen often? Is it a show? What is this? But obviously, we're not even aware of him. But what struck me was that boy learned something from me that night that I can't teach him in 100 sermons. He can do Bible school and all our foundations. He's not going to get it. But he got it that night through imitation learning. And so Scripture says, but there's a little problem here. God's invisible. You know, it's a problem. How do I imitate an invisible God? And that's where the incarnation comes in. The Word made flesh. Because that's what happened that night. The love of God was in me. The Holy Spirit had sorted out my head and my heart. I've got love for my kids and I've got love for my wife and I'm... Sometimes I can't forgive. I'm more in love with her now, just as in love with her. But I'm in love with my wife. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. She's scary. She's all of that godly stuff. But you know, that's all God's fault. The fact that I can do that, because that's just Him. But God was there that night, and He was showing that boy Himself. And so in Ephesians 3:14, just after that, the Apostle Paul prays in the NASB and then the International Standard Bible. He says, God is the Father from which every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It's coming. And I tell you something that I want to tell you from the Lord God Almighty this morning. That what God wants from you and me now is to get this love thing right. It starts by submitting to the Holy Spirit saying, I need revelation. I don't have it. And I don't have a human reference for it. But I need a human reference. We just came back from Israel. The eldest member of the group was 68. The youngest was 21. The 21-year-old sits with me across pudding one night. She says she wants to talk to me. And she's talking about this and that. She's giggling and smiling. But while she's doing that, there are tears running down her face. And I'm thinking, aren't girls weird, eh? Only girls do stuff like that. She's all happy in what she says, but her body language says, I'm hurting. And then suddenly she blurts it out. She says, nobody knows that I'm here. And I went to her. I went like, what do you mean nobody knows you're here? Then she tells me a story. Well, she does, you know, she's got a dad who's got a lot of wives everywhere. And she and her sister, just two of the kids, but her sister doesn't want to know her because her sister thinks she's the pretty one and the sister's the ugly one and she doesn't want to be in a space because she doesn't want to live in a shadow. And the mother committed suicide. Well, they think so because the mother just disappeared a few years ago and never came back and they never found the body and it took years to wrap it up. And so she's alone in this world. But so at the end of that trip, that girl and a few of the other young kids, we're talking about, you know, was the trip meaningful? It was amazing. It was the first time we had a family holiday. It was the first time we were out with moms and dads who love each other and who ignore us, aren't there to entertain us and to police us because they're so into each other. And we just like their flies in the wall just watching this. Doing our own thing, coming back, checking they're still there, they're still happy. They said this was life. This was so cool. When you go again, we're coming. Family. No, 14 and 15. 3:14. Just before that. Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's off the scripture. It's meant to read, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. My family's name comes from God. It's an earthly family. But they're heavenly families too. Every body of believers has a name that God has given it and was established in eternity. If it was not established in eternity, it will not survive over time. So there are a lot of families that exist and then they come and then they go because they were never families. They were never ordained and authored by God before the foundation of the world. But it's within the context of family, if we go to the next scripture, that imitation learning happens. You see, when you want to comprehend the love of God, you've got to do it with all the saints. If you want to know the love of Christ, and if you want to be filled with all the fullness of God, if you really want to know God, it has to happen within the context of a family that derives its name from God. Daar's 'n hele klomp mense wat regtig voel ek in my stilte tyd in God, ons gaan hierdie ding wax. Maar dis nie oor godsdienstigheid nie. Dis oor 'n verhouding in die gees, waar die Heilige Gees goed in mense hart kom vasmaak, wat mense nie eers van bewus is, dit gebeur wanneer jy onder bewussyn aangeskakel is, en ons saam is, en God net begin deponeer. Wanneer die preek kom, en wanneer die onderrig kom soos nou, dan is dit bevestiging van dit wat die Gees kom vestig, in jou hart, in jou gees. And that's what God has been saying to us, we're busy with restructuring massive. God came to me, couple of months ago and said, I'm not happy with the church, this church, the Shofar. I'm unhappy with it. And that was at a time when I was just spending time with God, wanting to get direction and vision. And normally God gives me very clear direction and vision. This time he told me that he wasn't happy. So I listened up. You know, when God's unhappy, you've got to listen. And this is what he said to me. I'm a father. I want a family. Make this a family. So from the Israel trip and a lot of things we're doing, changing. And so I said to that 21-year-old at the table in Israel, well, I can pray for you now, but I'm not going to do this because I'm going to embarrass you. This is a lounge full of people, and the waiter serving us is a Palestinian guy called Osama. Such a scary-looking guy, big guy serving us. So Osama, I'm not going to lay hands on you in front of Osama. But I tell you something. Here's my cell phone number. When we get home, you call us and then you hang around our house whenever. Whatever. middle of the night, anytime, think of my house as your house. So my son goes up to her in church on Sunday and says, oh yeah, I've got a new sister. When are you coming?
Ken was amazing. There's no vips ourselves and stop there. Say, ek is jou project nie.
You know, that's typical. Because Scripture says we've got to learn the ways of love. God reveals it to you, see it. But I tell you, it's something that we must get into, but through relationship. And now I must become more truthful. So, in church, you must see Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that's all about who Christ is. And then you must begin to experience Him as we relate to each other in love. And a lot of people don't understand love except from the movies. So we're going to be teaching on it a lot. You see, love is all about truth and conflict and confrontation. But the difference between what you know in the world and what happens in the church is that if you, Peter and Paul, in public, you can have the biggest dispute. Peter gets up and says to Paul, jy is 'n tweegesig, broer! En Paulus sê, sê wie? En hy sê, Timoteus hier. Hy moes homself laat besny. Weet jy hoe lank hierdie man buite die kommissie was? Oor jou stupidheid. Want in Jerusalem moet hy net kan my Joods wees en homself laat besny en al die goed. En ek dink hier, dis nodig nie. En jy eet skelmpies. Met die heidene, maar hier sit jy nou by jou eie tafeltjie. Wat se apartheid gaan hier aan? Maar nou sê Paulus Petrus, man, is reg. Mense, ek is 'n twee dinges. Vergewe my asseblief, vergewe. Jammer. Almal sê vergewe. Vergadering gaan aan. Twee stap na mekaar toe, druk mekaar, klap mekaar op die kop, lewe gaan aan. Family. Niks gefeinsdheid nie, niks geskinderie, niks gefluisterie. Eerlike liefde. Julle ken het nie, julle ken het godsdienst. Ek ken het nie, ek ken het godsdienst. Ons allemaal kom daar vanaf. And God says, I want this to change. But Scripture talks about the fact that when we get to know love, the love of God has a lot of dimensions. The love that you know from television is flat and one-dimensional. It's not even love, it's lust. So maybe we should just forget about that. But then sometimes you look at two people or two friends and you say, whoa, that's amazing. But that's just one dimension. I'm just going to mention to you, I can't teach it, I wish we could break it down this morning. But do the downloads. I'm going to start breaking this down someplace. I've already started. Download it and share the videos or the whatever, DVDs, CDs. But the love of God has so many dimensions. I'm going to start at the bottom. Zephaniah 3:17. Can I mess you around? Okay. The message reads, Ephesians 3:18. You're right there. Can we just jump to free? No. Just leave it there. That's cool. But Ephesians 3:18 from the message reads, and I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus. Watch this. The extravagant dimensions of the love of God. Die uitspattige dimensies van die liefde van God. Die dimensies is beautiful. Eerste dimensie sê God, ek is die krijgsman. I am that warrior on the white horse that will be there for you whenever there's trouble. If you want to know me as a jealous God, if you want to know me in my love, I'm your champion. I'm your gibbor. I'm your victorious warrior. I will sing over you. Ek sal my horing blaas op my perd en aangery kom as ek daai kreet hoor. Ek onthou eendag, ek is in die huis en my seentjies daar buite en ek weet daar's 'n ou wat roomys verkoop. En nou hoor ek daai kreet. Ouers ken ons daai kreet. Daar is ons verskillende soorte skree wat 'n kind het. En ek hoor daai varkie angskreet. En nou bid ek soos wat ek uithardloop. God, let me be wrong, because today somebody dies. Today I turn Catholic for 15 minutes. Today I do a crusade. I kill the guy, do holy water, and then I get saved again afterwards. If anybody messes with my kid today, he's dead. I'm not that Christian that I'm going to forgive a pedophile Catholic priest. I'll kill him. Nobody messes with my kid. Nobody. See, you don't have a reference for that because that's where God's at. God says, I'll give people in exchange for you. I'll swap nations for you. Nobody messes with my kids. Nobody. I'm your vindicator. I'm your warrior. If anybody comes against you, you'd better pray for them. Don't curse them because it's going to make it worse for them. Bless them. Bless them. Say, God, not so hard. God, not so fast. Be nice with them. Sort them, but just a little bit, little bit. Because God's got a big fly swatter. He's a warrior God. He loves you like the hero in Gladiator. That's your God. But he's so big, he smiles and he sings while he comes. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You're going to be less than a rumor. You're going to be so dead. You're going to be so dead because you're messing with my loved one. Don't do that. Don't do that. Our God is a warrior God. He wants you and I to know him. The dimensions, the extravagant dimensions of the love of God. God is a father. He's the daddy who never kissed you on the forehead. He's the daddy who was never there in the morning when you woke up to just take the blanket off your head. Say, my love, how are you? Lekker geslaap. Oh my goodness, we have so many people coming to the church in the days to come. They're coming off the streets. They come from North Africa and Central Africa. They come to work on the streets as prostitutes. And you know, when they're coming to church, we're aware of their sinfulness. But you know what the Father sees? The Father sees a little girl who really has such a desperate need to know the dimension of his love in terms of fathering. Because you see, when her father came to the bed when she was 11, he'd rip all the blankets off and impose himself on her every night. So her idea of daddy's bad, you and I see this bad lady, but we have no idea where she's been. We had one of these traffic girls. We've got like an NGO that deals with them back there. And I remember this gorgeous little thing from Zimbabwe. She was 17 or 18 coming through. And I was so excited to see her. I walked to her and just put my arms around her and held her. And afterwards I thought, oh Fred, you blew it. You blew it. I mean, what she meant to make of this? She doesn't even know who I am, you know, because it was the first time just walking to the thing. And I went home and prayed, said, God, I hope I didn't mess it up. But the next time she came looking for me, just stood like this. Like I want another one of those. And it was just amazing to watch it just grow and watch the sisters just take her into the family and watch God heal her. C.S. was at a prison. Our Bible school material is going to prisons. We've been, this has been coming on for a lot of years, 12, 13 years. Stachy is just going from strength to strength. So we've got little Bible study groups running through all our stuff. And he was at the one prison where they were doing like the exams after the one term, the one module. And C.S. says, the one chap gets up and he says, this is my first time in prison. And my first 3 months was hell because I got raped every night. He says, "Now there was nothing left of me. And then the Lord saved me. And I want to tell all you guys I'm whole. I'm healed. Because the Father and His love has made me whole." And He started ministering to them. And C.S. was just popping with joy because this is just the first module. We got like, what, 24 to go? Father's love. The extravagant dimensions of the love of God. And people, it's not a sin if there's a dimension of God's love that you don't miss. A lot of us aren't going to be able to tick one of these boxes. And so when the Father says, "Do you know me?" and you say, "I don't," it's not wrong. It's not a sin. But what He's saying is it's available. But it doesn't come in a lucky pack. It doesn't come out of the sky. Come and get it in my family. And for us as family, for us as dads, He's saying to me, stop preaching at the people. Love them. So we're working on that. So pray for us. I must go faster. I'm enjoying this too much. The love of a mother. Do you know that God is a mother? Oh, you didn't know that? The anointing of mothering came over Jesus when He looked over Jerusalem and He started weeping. He says, "I'm like a mother hen. I want to gather you and you wouldn't let me." It's a mother. You know, when you like the girl I talked about when you're 12 years old and she says, my mother used to post me around to people everywhere, and everywhere I'd come, I'd get on the landline, I'd call her every hour," she says, "because I so needed for my mother to tell me two things, that she loved me and that she wasn't going to leave me, because I felt it in my heart that she was going to leave me. And I kept saying, 'Mom, I love you. Mama, I can sleep for you. Mama, I can sleep for you.' I say, 'Mama, nux. Mama, when you fuck on me.' I say, 'Mama, nux.' And she said, 'To verdwijn, mama. 12 weke later, met die hond, 12 weke later kom die hond terug. Ons weet nog steeds waar mama is.' En sy sê, 'My hart is so vol anger. Ek weet nie wat om mee te maak. Help my.' And God wants to show her mother's love. God can show you mother's love. The extravagant dimensions of the love of God. God is a husband. God isn't the guy who walks into the house and then roars, "Where's my course?" He doesn't do like that. He comes to seek you out and find you. He says, "My love, how are you? How's your day been? Are you okay? Come here. Come here. Los de Baba. Kuiso. Your battery is pop. You can sing. Your oogies hang. Ek moet jou net vashou. 2 minutes, kat. Ja, ek weet, dis laat. 2 minutes. Ek moet jou net vashou. Kan ons 'n date maak? Ek voel jy het baie wat jy vir my wil vertel. Talk to me, talk to me. I want to listen. I want to know. I want to feel you. I want to understand. I'm fascinated by what happens in your mind. By how you view things. And love, will you talk to me about me? Don't be afraid. Because I only see one side and I only know a little bit, but you say see so much more. Talk to me. Help me. Help me. You see, so Jesus stays away for 2,000 years. You know why? He could have come. He wants to come soon, but he can't. But because he wants his wife to understand how much he needs her. Until she helps him, the world's not going to get saved. The world's not going to change. Life depends on her. He's the husband who trusts her, creates space for her, who celebrates her. He's the husband. We're almost done, and then we're going to stand and pray. And God's going to touch you. God is the friend. He's the friend that sticks closer than the brother. He doesn't stab you in the back. He doesn't talk about you. He talks to you. He says, I'm not your master. I'm not your slave driver. I'm your friend. Are you the seed of Abraham? My friend. I want to be your friend. If you feel unhappy with me, you can tell me. Because I know your heart. And I know it's just your feelings, but you need to get it off your chest. But if it touches me, talk to me about it. I'm your friend. And when I hang on the cross, and when you disappear because a teenage girl who's pretty and appealing challenges you about your commitment to me, you're disloyal and you disown me, I'm okay. You know why? Because you and I have talked about this before. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I know that my prayers are going to carry you because I'm your friend. My prayers are strong enough to restore you. I'm your friend. God says, I'm your brother. I'm your sister that you never had. Can we stand tonight? This morning? Can we stand? Daar's van ons wat nog nooit vir God oorheil het nie. Daar's van ons wat glad nie so verwysingsrame het werk het vir God nie, want jy het nog nooit gesien hoe heil jou pa wanneer jy hom seer maak nie. So jy kan nie verstaan wanneer God sê, ek is die loerse God nie, laat God vir jou en my iets wil sê, nie net van sy hartstog, nie van sy passie, en sy ondeurgrondelike deernis vir ons nie, maar hy wil iets sê van hoe kwesbaar hy sy hart maak teenoor ek en u. Soos wanneer ek en u na hom toe kom, soos hy sielkundige, en hy, he wants to engage, en ons dan ongemaklik raak van al die pyn van die verlede, druis dan in. En ek draai my rug op hom, en ek gaan doen maar weer my eie ding op my eie manier, en ek sal self sien en kom klaar, staan die vader aan die trane, loop net so, by sy gesig af. En hy soos Jesus met die Jode, as jy net sou verstaan, net so bykie, hoe lief ek vir julle is. Sal jy met my praat oor my kerkse traditie en my kerk dit? Sal jy met my praat oor my persoonlikheid en my kultuur en al die goed nie? Want dit gaan nie daaroor nie. Gaan oor my hart. Wat ek deur my Heilige Gees wil openbaar. Nie net aan jou nie, maar deur jou. En vanoggend wil ek net 'n eenvoudige beroep op ons doen. As jy vanoggend voel dat die Heilige Gees sê vir jou, dat is nou vir oggend, jou tyd en jou dag, om te beweeg van 'n godsdienstverhouding en 'n kerkverhouding met God. Nie na 'n plek van intimiteit toe nie, nee. Na 'n plek van kinderlikheid, waar jy erken teenoor God, dat my hart is maar eintlik nog verstar, hy het vastgesit ergens in my verlede. En ek was nog nooit by magte om hom saam met my te vat, ek het ouer geword. Ek het nie groter geword nie. Want ek ken nie nie. My seerkry definieer my geestelik. Maar ek het nog nooit verstaan wat Jesus op die kruis sê, wanneer hy sê, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. God, I'm going through hell right now, but my spirit will be safe with you. When I come through this thing, I'm going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because in the worst stress and crisis and trauma, when I know your love, I come through this thing, not as a survivor, but as an overcomer, as victorious. We all have our stories to tell. People, if you want to tell me today about your stories, I can tell you stories. I can tell you about abuse and violence. I can tell you a lot of stuff. We all have our stories. But the only one that God wants to hear is the love story. It's about the day when you realized that He wants me not just to open the door and walk away, but to come stand there and look Him in the eye. It says, Father, I'm just like that street woman. If a proper man were ever to walk up to me and say, I don't want your body tonight. I want to get to know you. Can we have a meal together? And then I'm never going to know you because I want to marry you, and then we're going to have kids. And that's when I'll know you. Because I see something in you that is just awesome, amazing. I'm like that woman. I don't know how to respond to a proper man. So God, I don't know how to respond to you. So God, when I stand in your presence and I see people weeping, forgive me when I've got my hands in my pocket. Forgive me when I look like I'm not interested. Forgive me when I look angry. Forgive me when I feel angry. Because I don't know any better. I can only do anger. I can only do indifference. I can only do rejection. I'm just like the disciples. I don't know what to do when I see you hanging on the cross. I just walk away. I'm not like your mother that can stay there because she knows you, because she understands what's going on in her heart. I'm not like that. But I come like a child this morning and I ask, help me to see you because I want to be like you. And if you let me, I'd like to start over. If that's you this morning, I want you to get up from where you are, bring your Bible, your bag, whatever. Come forward. We're going to pray with you this morning. Because God wants to revolutionize your life. He wants to turn your life around. If you're in a place this morning where life has really messed you around, and you've never said it to yourself, but you're so angry because nobody ever stood up and fought for you. When you were violated and abused, there was nobody. God says, come to me. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm your warrior God. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to vindicate you. I'm your vergeldingskrygsman. I'm going to fight for you. If your family's rejected you, always the black sheep, the odd man out there, God says, come, 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 come. You need to see something in my heart here. It's my son is that older brother that should have come look for you when you went off on drugs, when you lost it, when you lost your head, when you lost your way, when you lost your mind. Not that righteous, self-righteous guy that stayed home. My son's not like that. He came to the earth to look for you, to find you, to call you by name. I'm everything that your heart has ever needed. I'm going to do a closing prayer then. As we begin to worship, you do whatever the Spirit tells you to do. Let's worship.
Just lift up our voices to the Lord. Just whatever's on your heart, just sing. Just spend some time singing to Him for a bit.
feel we need to respond to this word this morning, Pastor Fred's invitation, if you want to come and just say yes to the love of Jesus, say, yes, Lord, I want to respond to that love. You see, it's like Jesus is standing on his knees this morning and he's proposing to you. And he's saying, will you get married to me because I love you so much? Will you walk in covenant with me? Will you say yes to my love? Will you be my bride? If you say yes, then come to the front. If you already committed your life to the Lord, if you already in that love of God, if you are happily married to the Lamb of God, then remain where you are. But if you're here this morning and you realize that you're one of those people that don't really know the love of God, you know about God, but you don't know His love intimately and truly, and you've heard the voice of God speaking to you, and you hear Him calling you right now, forget about the people, forget about who's who in the town that is here. No matter what your name, your title, your rank is, whoever you are, just come to the front right now. There's people who would like to pray with you here. And the presence of God is here. And when the angel of God stirs the waters, the first one to jump in is the one that gets healed. And I'm calling you today to say, come forward and just to have an encounter with the living God. Right now, freely, just come. Do not be afraid. Just come to the front. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, you want to say yes, Lord, to that love, if you want to respond to Jesus' cry, to say, come and receive my love. Come and be introduced to my love. If the minister facilitators can come forward immediately. We're going to just wait a little while because I sense many people are afraid of this front piece here. Not wanting to be seen in front of everybody else. Not knowing what to expect. We're not going to decapitate you. We're not going to take you somewhere else. We're just going to pray with you here. We're just going to bless you here. This is the time where you can encounter God. Thank you for coming. Yes, keep coming. Be liberty. Have liberty. Be free. Kom met vrymoedigheid. You know, the love of God is real. We need to respond to Him in a real way. You know, when He stands on His knee and He's having His own one hand up, He's not there waiting just for fun. He's saying, I'm crying out. My question to you this morning is, are you going to keep Him standing? Are you going to keep Him waiting? Or are you going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to come running to you? Ladies, when a young man asks you to marry him, are you going to turn your back on him? Or are you going to jump up and wrap your arms around his neck and say, yes, yes, I want to get married to you because I love you. I know there's many more people that need to come. We're going to keep on singing. We're going to keep on ministering to people. I'm going to close this officially so that we can have a time of fellowship. And I want to invite every single one of you to not rush away, but spend a few minutes with us. There's wonderful cake and tea through this door into the passage. There's people who would like to just get to know you and we can experience that love. And I want to invite you to come Wednesday night again. We're going to meet you. We're going to have fellowship. And we're going to talk about that love that Pastor Fred has been ministering about. We're going to pray with one another and just grow in that as a church. I believe that there's many more people that want to come. But if you want to come, wait 5 minutes and come later. That's okay. Ministry facilitators, if you could just wait a while, because I know that there are many people who need to come forward and will come. I want you to know, if you're standing there, we will wait for you. Let us sing that last song and then we're going to close.
your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your Spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here.
You know the extravagant love of God, the extravagant dimensions of the love of God. May you know Him intimately and powerfully in a manner that is real and true. And even if you may be shy here this morning to just respond to that love and not knowing exactly how, when you go home, just say, Lord, I want to know more. I want to know more about this love. I want to see more. I want to experience more. And I want my inheritance of love. I want a family of love and belong to a family of love. My natural family and my spiritual family. Because that's what we're all about here today. It's not so much about the vision and the fancy lights and music and everything. It's about a family gathering here today. And you are all invited to become part of that family. And we are called to open our arms and reach out to the world. Because there's a world that says we need a family. A family of believers to belong. Let's go out and reach out to them. Father, I thank you for what you've done here this morning, that we can, God, that you have brought us together as a family. Lord, I know there are many churches, each with their own purpose and calling. I thank you, Father, for that which you've called us to be and to do. But most of all, Lord, a family that you want us to be. You as the Father, we as the children, brothers and sisters. Lord, may the love of God abound in this house. That we will not only love our neighbors ourselves, but that we will love our enemies. That we will love the nations, the people we have never met before, never even seen or heard of. But God, that your love will grab hold of our hearts, that we may go from this place like those on the road to Emmaus. There are many people in this room here tonight. You are like the people on the road to Emmaus, walking with Jesus. You hear His voice, and in your heart there's a warmth, because as soon as Jesus left, and they realized who He was, they said, was not the warmth, was there not a warmth in our hearts while He was speaking to us? And this morning I know that there are many people in this room where you have felt the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as the words were speaking to you this morning. And He's calling out to you and He's saying, respond to me, respond to my love. Respond to my love. If you want to do that even this morning, just ask somebody to pray with you, that's fine. Even if you don't, go out from this place in the mighty name of Jesus and encounter the living love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen.